Welcome to Lesson 1, Learning Publisher Speak. I'm author Denise Vega, and I'm looking forward to leading you through this particular lesson, which talks about some of the terminology I feel is most important for you to know before you jump in and start working on submissions. So there are a lot of terms that are part of the publishing world, but we're just going to focus on the few that I think are the most important, and I'll talk about other publisher terminology at the end of this lesson. Okay, so the first thing I want to explore is some publishing roles that I believe that you need to know right now. And that is titles of people, what they do, and what their roles are in a publishing company. So the first thing I want to explore is publisher versus publishing house. Now, sometimes these terms are going to be used interchangeably, and I'll talk about that in a second. But the first thing I want you to be aware of is that the publishing house is the actual company, the publishing company. So this might be Random House or Little Brown or Charles Bridge or Pelican. Those are publishing houses, publishing companies. And many of the larger publishing houses, and even some of the medium-sized and perhaps the smaller ones, have a person whose title is publisher. So they actually have the title of publisher, and they're more overseeing everything. They're one of the big head honchos at the publishing house and actually manage a lot of other people. Now, having said that, you will often hear the word publisher and the word publishing house used interchangeably and mean the same thing. I actually will be doing that as well throughout my lessons here. But I did want you to be clear that some publishers actually have a person who is called the publisher. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense. Let's move on. Okay, who are all these editors and what do they do? So many publishers will have a variety of editors and titles for these editors, and each of them will have varying roles that they perform within the publishing house. So we're going to talk about most of those, but I wanted to focus on the ones that are going to be most open to submissions from new authors. And those are the ones with the following titles: editor, assistant editor, acquisitions editor, and even editorial assistant, but only if they indicate they are acquiring. And when I say indicate, it may show up on guidelines or perhaps in a document that reviews which publishers are accepting submissions, how they accept submissions, because most editorial assistants are just that. They're assisting. They're assisting an editor and doing a lot of administrative tasks, perhaps logging in submissions as they come in, keeping track of the order, and that kind of thing. Some of them may be first readers for manuscripts and make decisions before passing something on to an editor. And that's also the role that an assistant editor may do as well. But again, I don't want to be too specific about the roles that each of these editors plays because they do vary from publishing house to publishing house. An acquisitions editor, though, will most likely be the one accepting submissions because they and or making decisions about acquisitions, about acquiring a manuscript. But an editor at one house, someone who has the title of the word editor, at one house may do one thing, at another may have more or less responsibilities. So they are pretty fluid in terms of what the roles involve. But these four are the ones that will be most likely to be open to a submission from a new author. We'll talk in a minute about whether the publishing house accepts from new authors or not. But for now, looking for these titles for the markets, for the publishing houses you hope to target, is really a great idea. Okay, so as I said, publishers have different titles, and there's also titles for those who are, quote, higher up in the pecking order at a publishing house. So you might see terms like editorial director, associate editor, executive editor, managing editor, senior editor. Many of these editors either focus mostly on managing other editors who are below them, They also may work mostly with existing authors and illustrators, clients they already have. And many of them, if they are accepting new authors or illustrators, will be usually approached best through an agent. And as you know, the agent topic I do cover in one of my bonus lessons, and you can check that out. So my main goal here is to make sure you understand that all of these different titles can be very confusing, but if you have an understanding of sort of the delineations I have here between the sort of lower level editors who are very open and the higher level editors who some are open. Just so you know, some are. There might be a senior editor at a publishing house who is definitely accepting and hoping to find new clients, new authors and illustrators. But there are other senior editors at other publishing houses who may be much more selective or who say, you know what, I only take them from agents. But just so you have an understanding of these different types of publishing roles and what they may or may not be doing, how involved they'll be in the acquisitions process, and just getting familiar with them. That's the most important thing, is just to begin to get familiar with some of these roles, some of these titles, so that you don't feel quite so confused when you start to jump in and explore which publishing houses might be right for your book. All right, so here are the 8 terms that I feel you need to know right now. I'm going to list them here, and then we'll look at each of them more specifically in detail. So we'll be looking at query and cover letters and what the difference is between the two, what a self-addressed stamped envelope is, and if you even need one anymore, what an unsolicited submission is, what a requested submission is, what an exclusive submission is, and what do we mean by a multiple or simultaneous submission? And how about those submission guidelines? What are those about? And finally, what is a synopsis and outline? And when do I need one? So let's look first at query and cover letters. Now, a query letter or a query email is basically what it sounds like. It's an initial letter of inquiry. You're trying to find out if an editor, publisher, or agent is interested in more of your work or in seeing a story that you're trying to pitch. So, as I say here, it's a letter designed to entice the publisher to request part of or all of your manuscript, all of your story. So in lesson 5, writing your query letter, I have a lot more detailed information about the query and provide some examples. So I'm not going to go into that much detail here. I just want to make sure you understand that it's sort of an initial inquiry, and it's different from the cover letter, which would accompany the partial or full manuscript you're submitting to a publisher. And again, in a future lesson, I have more detail on cover letters and some examples, so that when you're ready for that, you'll have a place to go to look and sort of model your own cover letter and also your own query letter when you're ready for that. So those two are the two that are those two letters are different from each other, though the cover letter may include some information you include in the query letter. And again, I will cover that in lesson 6. Okay, so let's talk about this self-addressed stamped envelope, or SASE. Well, very few publishers are returning manuscripts when you send them in via snail mail. So the SAE is basically what I call a lost art. What's happened is that publishers have downsized, so they have less staff, and they also are receiving a lot more submissions. So they are struggling to keep up with everything. And even though it seems pretty easy to slip it in an envelope and drop it in the mail, those few minutes that they save are minutes they can use for current authors, for looking at new material they may be interested in, and that sort of thing. So most publishers don't require or ask for a self-addressed stamped envelope. However, for those few that do return your manuscript, you need to make sure you're including a self-addressed stamped envelope that is the right size, that's big enough to return your manuscript, and also has sufficient postage for the return of your manuscript. I remember talking to editors a number of years ago who were dumbfounded that someone had sent in, say, a novel or even a picture book manuscript that was 5 pages and sent it in a 9x12 envelope, but then included a return envelope that was a number 10 business side with a first class stamp on it. There's no way that you're going to get back your entire manuscript with that small envelope and such a small amount of postage. So do make sure that you check with the post office, and they can weigh your manuscript and the envelope that you want it to come back to you in, and put the proper postage on there. It's very easy these days. Or you can use those self-serve kiosks. We have those in here that you can use to do that weighing and stamping. Okay, now if you do come across publishers who do handle self-addressed stamped envelopes and are happy to mail your manuscript back to you if they don't accept it, please check out the SASE video that I've included with this lesson. I show you exactly how I've done it in the past in terms of what kind of manuscript I have and how I handle including the self-addressed stamped envelope with my submission. All right, so let's talk about unsolicited submission. These are also called over the transom, which is a throwback way, way back in the old days when there was actually a transom or one of those half windows above a door that was open and someone might drop their manuscript, quote, over the transom and into somebody's office. And also the slush pile. So the slush pile, which is, I consider this just a horrible term, and we value our work. I wish they didn't use the term slush pile, but basically the slush pile means manuscripts that are stacked up on or near an editor's desk that have come in from an author who has not met the editor or had some kind of request from the editor or publisher to send in something. So that's what that slush pile comes from. So basically the unsolicited submission is one where you've done your research. This is big, and I'll be talking about this a lot in later lessons. You've done your research and are targeting a publisher or publishers, and you don't have any connection to them. So you haven't met them at a conference, you haven't sent a query, and they've said, oh, please send the first 3 chapters of your novel, or please send the full picture book manuscript. You're just targeting and sending without a connection. And these submissions are usually logged in, sometimes by the assistant, or excuse me, the editorial assistant, and they're read as time permits. And these are read usually after submissions from existing authors and those that are submitted by agents. So your manuscript will be pretty far down the reading line if you're submitting it unsolicited. All right, let's talk about the requested submission, which is different from that unsolicited submission. So this can take a few forms. It could happen that your query, the query letter you send in or the query email, results in the editor or agent saying, hey, I would love to see your full picture book manuscript, or I would love to see the first 3 chapters of your novel and a synopsis. And we'll talk about that synopsis in just a bit. So your query results in a request, and that is so awesome. That is a great step toward getting your manuscript accepted for publication. So that's one way that you might have a requested submission. Another way is that you may meet an editor or an agent at a conference, and they ask you to send a partial or full manuscript when it's ready. And I did note here that this sometimes happens after a manuscript critique. If you've never attended a writing conference, what many of them offer is a one-on-one critique with an industry professional, editor, agent, or possibly a published author and or author illustrator. And during that time, you'll pay extra most often, and you'll submit your manuscript in advance. The manuscript will get sent on to editor, agent, published author, and at the actual conference, you will meet with that person and discuss ways to improve, what you're doing well, what might need improvement, that sort of thing. And sometimes during these meetings, An editor and agent may say, "Hey, I really like this, and when it's finished, I would love to see it." And that is fantastic. And that's something that you can indicate when you are ready to send that you met them at the conference and that they requested it. So, my tip here is, what do you do if you get a request like this? First, of course, you totally celebrate. And if you feel like sending me an email, I'm happy to celebrate with you. So feel free to do that. But I'm very big on celebrating every milestone in this process because it can get really challenging and it can take a long time. So celebrate, celebrate. And then second, I do cover this question in much more detail in lesson 9, handling responses. And you're going to hear me say this several times because lesson 9 is a really wonderful lesson. And I don't want to take up too much time in this lesson discussing things that are covered in that lesson. So if you want to know what to do, if you get a request, if you want to know exactly how to handle it, check out that lesson. All right, so that's what I mean by requested submission. They've actually asked to see something, either because you've sent a query or because you met somebody and they had access to your work through a critique or perhaps a first pages read aloud. There are many ways to have a requested submission, and those are always awesome. All right, so what is this multiple or simultaneous submission? Well, first off, I want to say that I'm so happy this is now the norm because in the past, you used to have to send them one at a time, and I'm going to be talking about that in just a second. But now you have the opportunity to, once again, after careful research on publishers, you send your query or partial or full manuscript to more than one publisher at the same time. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is to make sure you're sending to publishers who actually are interested in the type of story that you've written. And I'll talk more about that later, but I'm just going to say it here too to get it started in your brain and to keep you thinking about it. Now, yes, once again, I have a tip. What do you do when more than one publisher wants your rockin' story? Break out the bubbly. Yes, celebrate, celebrate. And then see some of the strategies that I suggest in lesson 9, because this is a wonderful situation to be in. It does not happen as often as people may think. And I'll tell you, I would love, love, love to have this happen to me. But at the time of this recording, it has not happened. And it's one of my dreams to actually have more than one publisher want a manuscript that has gone out. So, that's what that means, that you're actually sending to multiple publishers at the same time. And again, that can be just a query. It can be a query with sample pages. Again, depending on guidelines from the publisher, which we'll be talking about in just a bit. Okay, exclusive submission. This is the opposite of the multiple submission and something I hinted at when I was talking about the multiple or simultaneous submission. So, this is where you actually submit to one publisher at a time. And like I mentioned, this actually used to be the norm years and years ago. When I first started out, a lot of publishers preferred this. They wanted to be able to read your manuscript and know that nobody else had it. But it takes them so long, especially these days, to get through all of the submissions that this is just not feasible. So, having said that, there are a couple of situations where you may decide to exclusively submit to a publisher. And the first one is because you feel that one particular publisher that you've researched or heard about really feels like a near perfect fit for the story that you've written. So that can be a reason why you say, "Hey, I'm submitting to you and only you for a certain period of time," and I talk about this when we actually get into query and cover letters. "I'm going to submit this only to you because I feel you are so right for it because of these reasons." And again, we'll cover those in later lessons. But that may be one reason why you decide it's worth going for an exclusive submission. Another reason is that the particular publisher may require an exclusive submission. There are actually a few publishers who want an exclusive submission with your story. And they will almost always have a specific length of time that they let you know. Hey, we will get back to you in 3 months. We will get back to you in 6 months, or whatever it may be. And they will. And that's another reason why you may go for a exclusive submission, because, oh, I really like this publisher, and oh, wait, that's what they require. Okay, I'm going to sit with it. I'm going with it. So, here's another tip for you. Should I follow sh or question? Should I follow up if I haven't heard? You guessed it. You can check out my answers in handling responses. However, I will say that depending on the publisher, if they usually will state whether they're going to respond with a yes or a no. More often these days, if a publisher does not want your piece, you will not hear. So you can make an assumption that after a certain period of time has passed and they haven't responded, they do not want it and you're free to go elsewhere. And I will be reiterating this in later lessons. All right, next, I want to explore submission guidelines is one of the terminology publisher speak that you really need to know. Okay, these are specific instructions on how to submit to a publisher, and they're usually found on the publisher's website. And this also is true for agents. There will be information on how to submit to them. Now, in the guidelines, you should note whether A, they prefer snail mail or electronic submissions, i.e., via email, whether you should include a self-addressed stamped envelope, and whether they only contact you if they are interested, which is something I just talked about on the previous slide. So these are the things you should sort of be looking for, as well as what they actually want in their submission. Do they want only a query? Do they want a query with sample pages, etc. So make sure you're very clear on what they want and how they want it, and follow those guidelines precisely. Unfortunately, because they are so swamped with submissions, many publishers and editors will look for reasons to immediately say no or pass on your piece. And if you have not followed their guidelines, and it's clear you have not, that's a reason for them to say, no, thank you. If this person can't follow our guidelines, how do I know they can follow through with revisions I request, with hitting their deadlines when it comes to production of the book, etc.? So follow those guidelines. All right, let's look at a couple of samples. This first one is from the Charles Bridge Publishing website. And you'll see here that this publisher does accept unsolicited submissions. However, they only get in touch if they are interested in the manuscript. So you do not need to include a self-addressed stamped envelope. And if they don't respond to you, you can assume that the manuscript will be recycled, etc., and that you can move on and submit it elsewhere. So that's a good thing to know about this particular publisher. All right, let's look at sample guidelines for Simon & Schuster. This is a very large publisher. And you can see right in the first line, they do not review, retain, or return unsolicited material or artwork. That means they want their submissions through an agent. Now, having said that, many publishers who attend conferences, who send editors to conferences to speak and also perhaps to do one-on-one critiques and such, will accept submissions from attendees. Now, speaking from personal experience, I used to be a regional advisor for the Rocky Mountain chapter of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. And one of our requirements when we contacted editors to come to speak at our conferences was that they must accept from attendees after the conference. Now, that may be just a query, or it may be some sample pages or a complete manuscript. That was up to them, but they had to agree to at least accept a query, if not more, or we would not invite them to attend our conference. So that's another reason to attend conferences. You can get those contacts and know who to submit to and what to submit, and have a door that's open to you for these publishers who only take 8 agents into submissions.
Oh,
Conferences are a
conferences.
great way to get your foot in the door for these types of publishers. All right, let's talk just briefly about the synopsis outline because I do have a full lesson on this. So if you've written a longer manuscript, if you've written a novel, or perhaps you've written a nonfiction piece, the publisher may require a synopsis or a chapter outline. This is a concise yet thorough overview of your entire story. And again, go ahead and check out lesson 7, writing your synopsis, for more detail and some suggestions on best practices for this. There's different types of outlines. The synopsis is a very particular type of document that you would send with some of your pages. So check that lesson out if you are a novelist or are thinking of writing something that's perhaps a longer nonfiction book. All right, just a couple of notes on more terminology. So when, not if, you receive an acceptance, because I am the eternal optimist, there are going to be more terms that you'll need to know. So you can see the now famous chapter 9 or lesson 9, handling responses for terms, strategy, and more. And also check out the downloadable doc that accompanies this lesson, because I have a more complete list of terms and other resources down there that will be helping you to move forward and to understand the world of children's publishing. So I will soon have you talking like a pro after this lesson and after checking out that download. Now, one of the things that I've discovered with learning terminology is one of the biggest newbie mistakes that I see is that the writer lets the terminology and newness and feeling overwhelmed about learning about the industry scare them into not moving forward at all. Just remember that you don't have to know everything right away. It may feel that way, but you really don't. If you know the basics that I've covered in this lesson, you have more than enough information to submit a manuscript. Beyond that, when you get an acceptance, when you're working with an editor and moving forward through the publishing process and beyond, yes, there's other terminology you'll need to cover. There's stuff about contracts, etc. But for now, these terms we've gone over here are all you really need to get you going. So if you can remember what we've gone over with query and cover letters, with the different types of submissions, we had exclusive submissions, multiple or simultaneous submissions, unsolicited submissions. We talked about submission guidelines and those types of things. All of those are the terms that you need to be familiar with to be able to get to start submitting your fabulous story. Okay, so as I indicate in my little tip here, with this course, you're becoming a seasoned professional. So that means you're going to avoid this mistake. You are not going to freak out about how much you don't know because you're already getting to know things. And you're going to feel good about that, right? Right. Excellent. All right. Next up, we have lesson 2, identifying your book type. Now, I do understand that you may have purchased the lessons individually, so maybe you are not going to have lesson 2 because you decided not to purchase it. Totally fine, but for those of you who have purchased the entire course, you will get to visit lesson 2, identifying your book type, and I'll see you there.